This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Dig your cleats in.
Line drive sailing away from Mullins. Oh! An impossible catch. Oh, my goodness.
This is the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
What did I do wrong? What did I see wrong?
Covering all things baseball, the big leagues, and the MLB to Portland.
And there's another rocket. Mike Trout has tied it up with an absolute bomb to the top of the facade in left center field. Talk about Stanton territory. Trout hammers it, and it's 4-4, 473 feet.
Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome into the Hot Corner for a Must Be a Tuesday. Patrick Harris with you, Joe Fisher to my left. Let's go! Jordan Schultz on the ones and twos.
Good to see you guys. Been a while.
Likewise. We are officially no longer the Hot Corner After Dark.
Thank God.
We have now changed to the Hot Corner at Dusk.
Dude, you know what I did last night? I was practicing my short game in chipping at Chehalem Glen at 7:30 at night.
You shouldn't. They're not a sponsor, Joe. Come on. Don't make me do your job.
No, but I got to show love to the home course. Come on. Great chipping area. One of the best.
I went to a local food establishment and then had some beers at a local beer establishment up in the Cove. And it was nice having dinner with my wife and some drinks, and we got in the car to go home about this time. And I could see. Because I got to wear glasses at night.
I think it was
like if I got to drive at night, I got to wear glasses because I can't see anything.
Is it blurry?
Got to see the lines.
Yeah, it's a dark depth perception thing. Yeah. And I was able to go home no glasses last night.
Saturday night, I was in the car at 6:30, and it was starting to get dark. And it dawned on me. I'm like, this time tomorrow, it will not be like this, and it'll be light out.
There are some times
and I
like
love that.
There are some times
it made me smile.
Like on Sunday, I get done with work at 4 or 5 o'clock. You know, I'll hit the local North Portland spot that I love to go to and have some brews. And usually I got to look outside. And once it gets dark, I'm like, I got to get home. The wife's going to be mad. It's nighttime. I can't be coming home after a few brewskis at the nighttime. And it was like, ooh, I got at least another hour and a half on this bad boy.
What it has done for me and the lady is it's tricked us into thinking that it's
summer.
That it's earlier in the day.
No, you know, a rooftop patio that I'd love to go to.
So, God, I can't wait. First rooftop patio
that will
of the
be
year.
Fair.
But no, I think it was Sunday night. It was like 9 o'clock or 9:30, and she's like, "You want to watch a movie?" And I was like, yeah, put it on. Let's go.
Oh, yeah, I'll be passed out in 10 minutes. Well, it's 10 o'clock.
We ended up finishing it. But by the time it was over, it was like 11:20 at night. Almost 11:30.
Yeah.
We watched Anora, by the way.
Was it good?
Dude, that was a solid flick.
The only Oscar movie that...
A lot of up tops, a lot of boning in it, I will say.
Oh, okay.
The only Oscar movie we saw was The Conclave, which might show the difference between your age and my age.
I heard it was solid.
It was really good.
Ralph Fiennes.
It's like his name is Rafe. It looks like Ralph, but it's Rafe.
Oh, I didn't know that about him.
Yeah, his name is Rafe. Yeah.
Because he's got a brother with a regular name, Joseph Fiennes, but yeah.
Who's a garbage actor.
Not that great.
His older brother is, you know, Daniel Day, Gary Oldman kind of level of really good.
But
old Rafe Fiennes. So it's like the F's kind of like flow into each other. Rafe Fiennes.
What is he? Is he something else?
He's English.
Yeah? Okay.
He's black. I thought he would've... He's black. That's what it is.
I had a feeling. Yeah, I think I saw that in there.
But we watched that. It was about finding a new pope.
A new pope in a
which
lot
is,
of
which was really intriguing because we're probably going to have to find a new pope, and there's all the, you know, the politics involved in it. It was a slow burn, but when the movie starts, the pope dies. This is not a spoiler alert, but that's the literally the beginning because the movie is about finding a new pope.
That's the one with Anthony Hopkins as the pope, right?
No, you're thinking of two popes or something like that.
I'm thinking a totally different.
No, this has Ralph Fiennes, Stanley Tucci, John Lithgow.
I got you. Got it.
And at the very beginning, the Pope dies. Then it cuts to Ralph Fiennes, who's standing over the Pope, and Ralph Fiennes starts crying. And I look at it, and I was like, bro, we're 3 minutes into this movie, and you're already acting your ass off. All right, let's do it.
Just give him the
Let's do it. Let's do it. And I think Conan made a joke at the Oscars. He said Ralph Fiennes, and there was Ralph Fiennes, you know, looking dapper as always, just a classy English actor. And he goes, Rafe, if you don't win tonight, we're going to start calling you Ralph.
Love it. You don't deserve the correct pronunciation.
And Ralph Fiennes did not win, despite being the best actor on the board. You know, it's like a fantasy baseball draft. You know, you're like, I'm just going to take the best guy on the board. And it's like, well, I don't know. This Jackson Merrill kid could be pretty good. Huh? It's like, well, you're going to say no to Francisco Lindor. Got it. Okay, cool. Got it.
But that was a good one, Conclave?
Conclave was good. It was really, I mean, it's a slow burn. It's a dialogue fest.
Yeah.
But it's,
I figured so. I mean, it's not like a lot of action, but it's not a lot of shootouts and gunfights.
Well, there is some action. There is some action because they're like stuck,
Jackie Chan come
they're,
through.
They're
and start
like
fighting
stuck
popes.
In a room and they can't know anything about what's going on outside because it might affect their decisions on who they all vote for the Pope. And there was some action based on that. And the ending is wild. The ending is super wild.
Double cross and a triple cross and a double cross.
No, I'm the Pope. But it was really good. It was really good. I really enjoyed it.
The one Oscar movie that my wife and I decided to watch was the one without speaking, Flow, the one with the cat. Like,
That good?
It was actually, it was only like an hour and 20 minutes, and it was really good.
That's the animated one, right?
Yes.
It's European.
They
erected a statue. I think it's Swedish, Norwegian, something like that, Danish, something like that.
I think you're on the right.
And they erected a statue of the cat as the first Oscar that country's ever won.
It's pretty crazy.
I want to show it to my kids. Well, is it kid appropriate?
It is very kid appropriate. Okay. It's just a little sad at times.
Latvian.
You know, you'll have to explain, like, it'll
Latvian.
Be okay. And
Ooh,
there's
I've got a good friend who's Latvian.
I think in the movie, there are statues of the cat. So I think that's what they kind of, in the callback to the movie, that's what they put in wherever country that it's from. So it was a really nice one.
Do you guys know the plot of Anora?
No.
She is dating a drug lord.
No. It's close, but she is a stripper, and she can speak
hot.
She can speak a little bit
she
of.
Is hot.
I mean, dude,
she is.
Literally
she's a hot.
First,
yeah, right.
First scene of the movie.
I mean,
is
I'm
just
more of a Demi
up-tops.
Moore kind of guy, but she's hot.
Don't care.
Which, by the way,
either one.
If you haven't seen The Substance,
I can't
also,
watch horror.
Dude, that movie, insane. Like one of the wildest movies I've ever seen. But Anora, no, she is a stripper, and she can speak a little bit of Russian. And so her boss is like, hey, we have a, you know, a Russian high roller here at the strip club, and I need you to talk to him, entertain him, you know, be his friend for the night. And he's like a 21-year-old, loud, Russian, boisterous,
obnoxious
cocky.
Idiot. Yeah.
And then he's
Bryce Harper.
Yeah. He's got a ton of money.
That's a clown question, bro.
He's got a ton of money, just throwing money wherever, doesn't care. And then he wants her to come over and spend more time with him. I'll pay you. I'll pay you to be my girlfriend. Yeah. And
pay him his money now.
She goes to his house,
KGB,
big ass mansion Baller. In New York, yeah. And then come to find out that, yeah, he hates his parents, but his parents are actually Russian oligarchs.
Shocking.
And he's like, I hate my parents. I don't want to go back to Russia. What if I just got married? And she's like, who are you going to marry? He's like, well, what about you? And so you could.
And she's like, let me get the statue real quick. And yeah, I'm in.
And you can imagine that a Russian oligarch's son marrying a stripper does not go over well.
Yeah, yeah.
And the whole second act of that movie is just pure comedy. Like, it's these Russian goons trying to fix this whole situation for the Russian parents that hear about this back home. And it's just, dude, it absolutely hilarious.
But a good flick.
Yes, all good. Right. Very good. I very much enjoyed it. But that was one movie that I saw from the Best Picture list. And then The Substance, man. I mean, I was bummed my girl Demi did not win.
So was she.
Yeah, I'm sure. She deserved it, dude. You want to talk about acting your ass off. She did really good. And then the supporting actress in it, I forget what her name is. Damn it. But she looked good.
I know you judge people based on their looks, Joe, because you are shallow.
Don't we all? Don't we all? Gosh, I'm trying to find her name, but
Zoe Saldana, or is that someone else?
No, no, no.
No, she was in that.
She was
like,
in the other one. Yeah.
She was in that tranny musical.
Thank you. I was like, that's not her.
I don't know.
That I actually heard is a really bad movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Just got put on there because it was
topical.
Social justice.
Yeah,
topical.
Yeah. Which I'm down for the social justice. I'm down for the topical.
But it's got to be a good movie.
But I heard a bunch of Mexicans were really mad about this movie, portraying Mexicans very poorly. Is what I heard.
Oh,
not my
no.
choice. What I heard.
I heard that too, and Zoe Saldana responded like, well, you know, maybe they shouldn't be mad, essentially, because the story isn't really about Mexicans per se. It's about the struggle of a young woman. To, no,
yeah, I have no
falling
idea.
On deaf ears, honey.
Yeah, it was Margaret Qualley is the...
Margaret Qualley, yes.
Yeah, she's the other actress in The Substance, and...
she's the daughter of Andy McDowell, if you all did not know.
Oh,
that.
That's hot.
Margaret,
a low-key hot.
Well, yes. Margaret Qualley, she is... it's up and it's good, as they say.
Oakley Doakley. Well, we do have a baseball show for you tonight.
I watched Whiplash last night, too.
Oh, that movie is fantastic. Is that the first time you ever saw it?
Yeah, it's been on the... It's been on the Netflix list for a while, and I've seen a bunch of clips from that movie.
Oh, that is such a great movie.
J.K. Simmons
is so good in that.
He's an animal. I don't know if you ever watched Oz, the HBO show.
I did not watch Oz, but I'm familiar with J.K. Simmons' work.
Oh, dude, my God.
He's insane in that, too. He's a white supremacist in that show. But
sounds wonderful.
And plays the prison convict character to a T.
Yeah, and Whiplash, that was a great flick. Had a great time watching that.
Well, we do got a baseball show for you tonight. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we'll finish up our division previews as we'll get into the American League and the National League West. Oh, Schultzy, hold your temper. Hold your temper. Next week, we'll dive into our overall baseball theories coming into the 2025 season, including a deep dive into the Mariners. We will do that next week. So we'll touch on the American League and the National League West. Two very, very contentious divisions for very different reasons. I'm really excited to get into that when we get to the 8 o'clock hour. Plus, there's some other things to talk about. There's some new baseball renderings for y'all Portland, Oregon, should they get a baseball team. So we'll dive into that. But where we'll go first, that old elbow that I was worried about last year, but I was able to grab him in the 14th round and turned out to be okay when he came back. Oh, baby, that's done. What does that look like for his team? What does that look like for his contract? What does that look like for his future? There's a lot to get to. We'll get to that next. This is the Hot Corner, Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
718 here, Portland Sports Leader. Don't you forget about it. We are live from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge. The fan text line, 503-864-6326. That bad boy lets you interact with us throughout the entire show. Holler at us, say what's up. We got Fan Madness coming up.
Hell yeah, we do.
I will be up there.
Hell yeah, brother. Yeah.
I will be up there.
Gambling, sports, beer.
I will be up there.
But why? Someone tell me why, damn it.
I will be up there on Thursday for most of the day and half of the day on Friday.
Heck yeah.
Are you, so what time?
I'm there on my own accord.
What time on Friday are you going to be there?
Probably early.
Yeah, when's this party bus set up for?
Our party bus is leaving here at around 11.
Oh, I'm not doing party bus.
I know. I just want to see you. I just want to
Yeah.
I want to see your face.
Me and some friends, we're going to go up on Thursday. We're probably going to get there at 8 o'clock. We want a good seat.
Hell yeah.
Right at 9 when the games start.
Oh, you're going to post up on one of the, like, the chairs.
No, we're not paying for the chairs.
Or a booth.
We don't want the booth. We want the upper high tops because you can see the TVs better and it's right by the book.
Okay.
Makes sense.
So I'll be there on Thursday for almost all the action, a little bit on Friday because I go to work at 3.
I'll be hosting on Thursday, actually, with Danny Meringue.
So oh, nice.
It'll be fun.
Nice. That'll be cool.
Yeah.
It'll be the most calm version of Danny and Dusty you've ever heard. Because neither you guys get worked
hot takes,
up about anything.
No riled up, no nothing.
I'm pretty sure.
Finally, that wild card Hera will be gone.
You're listening to Danny and Dusty on 1080 The Fan. Yeah,
pretty you sure know, Danny and I are on opposite sides of the Blazer spectrum.
Last night I baked a cake.
And then we're going to give you some soft tunes of Seattle Mariners after that. And this is 1080 The Fan.
And that cake was as soft right here as on Jose Portland. Altuve in left field.
Is that what they do in like
I think
on those
they
stages?
Do. I
they
think
cover it.
They cover
listening to Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher
or
on
they
the
go,
hot corner.
Hi, baby. Welcome to Loveline.
You just listened to the sweet sounds of Lionel Richie. Sounds real good, baby.
Sexual, you know, healing.
I was out at the club last night, and I told this girl the same thing Lionel Richie's about to say to you. All night long. Hit it.
All night long.
Can I get you a fifth sandwich?
I think you should draw a nice warm bath, pour a little Cavathier, and then I would stick it in. So, coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, like I said, we'll dive into American League. We'll dive into the American League, National League West, give you a quick preview of those. And there's some Portland renderings, so we'll get to that. But I want to start here. You know what's funny? This is like a personal thing for me on so many levels. By the way, I texted Voldemort the other day because I'm in a fantasy league with him.
Ray Fiennes?
He gives his love. Ray Fiennes says hello. Had a decent draft. He grabbed one of my guys after the draft was over in the waiver wire that I was not very happy. I almost texted him. But it sounds like I am going to get his $310 to him. From Jay Cezus.
Jeek Cezus.
Jeek Cezus. So that is put to bed. I will get that money to our good friend Giancarlo Lynch. But what's really funny is this whole situation. So last year, I'm in a fantasy draft, and I'm wondering, we get news that Gerrit Cole's elbow's a little funky. Remember this last spring training?
There's a stank coming from his elbow.
There's a stank coming from that elbow. And everybody in my league is all hesitant on drafting Gerrit Cole. Understandably. Because it sounds like he's going to get Tommy John.
Please tell me you drafted him.
So I drafted him in the 14th round.
Steal, baby.
And I just sat on him. And he came back in like late June or something, if my memory is
correct. Oh, this
was
last year.
Last year.
Oh, okay.
So I sat and waited and waited and got him in the 14th round. And he was on the DL for a while, but he came back, I want to say like late June, something like that. And he was really good for me down the stretch. Obviously, the Yankees went to the World Series. He pitched well in the playoffs. He pitched well in the World Series, minus the pointing at Anthony Rizzo meme. That is one of the greatest baseball situations to ever happen of like, hey, that's your fault. And it's like, oh, it might be your fault.
Hey, it might be your fault.
Sorry, baby.
So that's how last year went. So coming into this year, we're starting to choose our keepers.
Oh boy.
And it's based on rounds you get them.
Boy.
So I've decided I'm taking Yordan Alvarez in the second. Traded for Riley Green, so I get him in the 13th. Then I'm starting to wonder, what do I do with my other? I'm like, Gerrit Cole in the 14th. I mean, looking at pre-draft rankings, I mean, he's a top 10 pitcher. Maybe I stick with him. Chose not to.
Wow.
Ended up going with Spencer Schwellenbach, who I picked up off the waiver wire.
Wow.
So he's my 24th round pick.
Wow.
And then we're coming in the draft this coming weekend, and I'm like, man, I hope that Gerrit Cole thing, because I just did another draft for my other league, the one with Giancarlo Lynch in it, and Cole went in like the 7th. And I was like, man, that's really good value. I hope I don't regret this. And boom goes the dynamite.
Was it Mike that got him?
No. It's old Chef. If you remember Chef? Chef? Lake Oswego Chef?
If he was at your wedding...
Maybe. No, he wasn't.
No. Okay. No. I've heard the name many
but
times.
But way back in the day when we first started this stupid little show, Chef ended up grabbing, but he got him in like the 9th. He dropped him today.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know.
So that's
unless
the big
he wants
news.
Him on the bench for some morale, you know, to boost his guys up, give him some motivational talks.
So that's the big news of spring training right now is Gerrit Cole will undergo Tommy John surgery, and that puts him out for the year, probably come back halfway through next year. And guys, I'm curious, where do you want to start? Do you want to start with how this affects the Yankees or how this affects Gerrit Cole?
I would like to start with rescinding my AL East pick from a couple weeks ago.
And that was the next question.
Do
so let's
I
start
like
with the Yankees.
That is something I can do.
So let's start with the Yankees because this is a major blow to them, in my opinion. Anybody that thinks this is not is out of their mind. We thought this Yankee rotation looked really good. The addition of Max Fried. You know, we're looking at Marcus Stroman as the guy on the way out, but if he has an innings limit,
that he hits, he'll get an extra like $20 million or something like that. By the way, congratulations, Marcus Semien. You gonna hit that. This is a big blow for the Yankees, I think. We talked about them losing Soto and how much of a gap that is, but they repurposed that money into Cody Bellinger and Max Fried, and I think we all agreed the Yankees are better on paper this year than they were last year, which is wild to think they lost Juan Soto and are somehow better. This, I think, crumbles that whole thing.
I mean, you have literally lost your two best players on your roster from last year.
Yeah.
One, obviously, via free agency and Juan Soto, and now your best pitcher, your ace pitcher. It's a huge blow because, I mean, while you are right, they did acquire some arms, and you're hoping to get a full season out of Clark Schmidt as well this year. So you're hoping you can weather that storm a little bit. But this isn't just losing a starting pitcher. You are literally losing the best starting pitcher in the American League. Like, a huge difference. A guy that is...
When healthy, nobody might be better than Gerrit Cole. Maybe in the AL or NL.
Seriously. And it's just, like, that was one of those where you lose a hitter like Juan Soto. You saw they were able to essentially retool the lineup. And I feel like your lineup is 1-9. And you can play baseball a certain way on when you're hitting and on the base pass to make up for a lack of power, lack of talent. Starting pitching, man. Like, it's a bit different. Yes, you can have some good, if you have good bullpen management, you have good lineup management, you're making sure you're playing guys.
I mean, they do have one of the best managers in baseball, so that helps.
Just got extended.
I can tell the sarcasm.
You've wanted him fired for so long. He's gonna be there for like 5-6 more seasons, bro.
But this is huge. This is like almost like losing a quarterback. Like, and now you got to go, like, well, hopefully we have good backups in place. Hopefully we got a good number two.
Yeah, this isn't. I'm on the injured reserve, so I can come back in week 14.
Yeah.
This is, you're done.
No, and this is going to, I don't think they really have anybody in their organization to fix this, I think, because...
No, I mean, nobody does to lose a guy like Gerrit Cole.
Well, and not only Gerrit Cole, but Luis Gil, who's going to be down for 3 months. We're not even talking about the fact that this is the second starting pitcher that the Yankees are missing out on. And if it were just starting pitchers, because we're kind of first talking about the effect on the Yankees, I think DJ LeMahieu is going to be out, for a few weeks because of a muscle strain.
That guy still plays.
I know, but you're counting on these guys like Giancarlo Stanton, he's going to be missing time.
I was going to say, yeah, he's injured too.
And so all these guys that are missing like in your lineup on top of two starting pitchers, it literally forces you now, you're going to have to go pay a prospect or two for a Sandy Alcantara or somebody from like the bottom of the Cardinals rotation, whoever wants to be a seller. Because if you're the Yankees, you literally have nothing in-house to replace these guys.
Before we get into what the Yankees do going forward and how this shapes the division, we'll do that on the other side. Could this be the death nail of Gerrit Cole?
I mean, it's a Tommy John surgery and you're what, 33?
Yeah.
I'm just guessing age. I have no idea.
I think he's right around that.
I mean, it's brutal, dude. It's brutal to have it. Yeah, he's 34. I don't have a birthday, so
he's 34. So he'll be out all year. So he'll be 35, making 30 plus mil a year.
He's already
now. Most guys, you know, a lot of talk in spring training that DeGrom looks fantastic, and he just had a Tommy John, and he's older. So like, the stats suggest you do come back stronger from the Tommy John.
He'll be 35 when he comes back.
Yeah, but you are out for a full year.
And the chance
at 35 is this? Do we just look at Gerrit Cole and say, "Man, that guy was really good for a while"? And adios.
I'm just trying to think of older, like, pitchers around this age that have gone through Tommy John and returned to form, and maybe someone on the text line can help us out.
Verlander.
Yeah, I was gonna say him.
When did he get his
38 and then won a Cy Young?
Is that really?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
But he's also like,
completely forgot about that.
But he's also like the LeBron, like, or Tom Brady. He almost like doesn't
and
count.
Also,
like, Verlander's the guy that doesn't age. I think the big test is gonna be Jacob DeGrom.
And there's got to be some healing properties in Kate Upton's up tops, you know?
I mean, I'm healed by Kate Upton's up tops, yeah, and she's exactly not even mine.
I can throw 90 now.
I think DeGrom this year will be a great litmus test. because guys like Bieber and Strider and even Strasburg when he had his, younger guys, Glasnow, younger guys, it's harder to tell because they have more years in the tank. Cole's not like done at 34. He's still pitching at a high level, if not the best pitcher in baseball. But does this, it's like when Clay Thompson blows his Achilles, you know, and you're kind of like, oh, Kobe Bryant blows his Achilles. You're like, oh, that might be it. Is this it because of Cole's age?
Well, now that you told me about that Justin Verlander thing, I was like, well, actually.
Yeah, but he's a freak, dude. He's a bona fide first ballot Hall of Famer.
Garrett Cole is a freak as well. I mean.
But is Garrett Cole a bona fide Hall of Fame first ballot? Not right now.
I hesitated, so that means no.
Yeah, there you go. You know my rules.
Well, he's got two Cy Youngs, though.
Yeah.
That's a Hall of Fame.
So does Tim Lincecum. So does Barry Zito.
Well, exactly. And a lot of those guys, they just kind of flamed out because at some point their arms just don't cooperate anymore.
Big time Timmy Jim?
Yeah, big time Timmy Jim.
Garrett Cole has
the freaky franchise?
2,000 innings pitched in his career. And I think right around that time, like what, 1,800, 1,900, 2,000 innings, you start to look at the miles on a player and his arm. And if he hasn't had surgery, it's kind of just playing the waiting game if he's going to or not.
So. And the real question is, what does this do to the Yankees? And what does this do to the rest of the division?
Well,
is this still theirs, or does this open it up?
Honestly,
that's what we'll get to next.
I wanted to talk about that in the next segment. Just I'm glad you said that. Honestly, I'll share my thoughts next.
Yeah, hey. That's what we got. There we go. So, are the Yankees still the favorite to win the American League East, or does this open the door for other teams? We'll get to that next. But first, we'll toss it to Schultzy with sports. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll dive into those new renderings for Portland and check in on the chances of us getting a baseball team. But we'll stay right here with the Yankees and Garrett Cole. And how much of a shift does this change the American League East? Boston's clearly spending some money. Their guys are coming up. God knows what the hell's going on in Toronto. Tampa will probably be doing Tampa things. And Joe's O's, about to be my O's, are a quiet threat without true starting pitching. Some scary news about Grayson Rodriguez, but we won't get into that.
Yeah.
But how does this Garrett Cole injury affect the rest of the American League East? And I will open it up to both of you. On do you change your picks? Did we all? No, you two took the Yanks. I took the O's.
I think we all took someone differently. I will go back on the records. I have the pictures.
I'm fairly confident that I took the O's. Out.
I can't.
I know you took the Orioles. Yeah, Jordan and I both took the Yankees. That's right.
Damn it.
So if there's a tiebreaker,
hold on. It was Will that was sitting in for Jordan.
Oh, yeah, that is true.
Thank you.
Wow, what a bailout.
And Will can barely spell baseball, so of course he took the Yankees. If there is a tiebreaker scenario in this situation, I just want the world to know that I'm sticking with the Orioles.
I pick the Red Sox.
And I break. Oh, he picks the Red Sox.
I'm going Red Sox.
But does Joe, I'll ask you then, since you took the Yankees to win this division. Does this affect your opinion on who wins the division?
The closer and closer we get to opening day, the more I start to move in the direction of the Boston Red Sox winning this division. And it's annoying, and I don't like it.
Very annoying. I mean, resident boss, Cooley, resident Red Sox
he's
fan.
Stoked.
He's stoked.
But you brought it up about the Orioles. The starting pitching is in question. And especially now with Grayson Rodriguez having some elbow discomfort and some tricep back of the elbow pain, which just fantastic. Gotta love that. And then obviously with the news of Garrett Cole and their rotation and their starting lineup, I mean, one through about six for the Red Sox, it's pretty tasty.
Pretty tasty.
And so, again, this is like I've had these moments in sports before where it's like, oh no, dude, I'm loving the Ducks to beat Utah in the Pac-12 championship. And then as the days get closer and closer, I'm like, I don't know, man. I don't feel really good about this anymore.
Yeah, I love the Ducks to beat Ohio State for a second time. And then it was like leading up to the game, I was like, thank God I don't do this for a living.
This happens quite a bit. And then sure enough, as that feeling starts to shift towards uneasiness and less confidence, the bad thing happens. And so now I'm just like, again, we get closer opening day, and I'm like, God, I think the Red Sox might actually win this. And then sure enough, that's what's going to happen this year. They get some new arms. They get Garrett Crochet. They get Walker Buehler. They're going to have amazing seasons.
Alex Bregman is going to rake at Fenway. He is.
Rafael Devers, that whole controversy is gone. So he's going to go back to hitting 40 bombs and 110 RBIs, it seems like. And then we get Tyler O'Neill. He's going to suck. For the Orioles, he's going to hit like 15 home runs and 40 RBIs.
I wish the Mariners would have signed him, actually. I'm a huge Tyler O'Neill guy. I think he'll be fine.
I hope you're a huge Tyler O'Neill guy this year, too, which means that he's going to have a good year. But I doubt it now at this point.
So you are going to shift to the Red Sox. You are more than welcome to. With the new information, new situations, you are allowed to change your opinion.
I think I'm going to make the switch.
You're
and I hope
Sox.
It's also sort of this reverse jinx, reverse psychology thing where me picking the Red Sox actually propels the Orioles to win the AL East. But I don't know. I just got this. I got a weird feeling. The starting pitching for the Orioles, there's a lot to be desired there. And well, it's not nearly as good as what the Red Sox are putting out there to start the year.
Well, I think the one thing before we, you know, put the Yankees for dead is, you know, Schultz kind of mentioned this earlier. They have the ability to go get guys. You know, are they now the front runners for Sandy Alcantara?
Yeah, cry me a river. Oh, no, we don't have Garrett Cole as our opening day starter. Max Fried, do you mind?
Step up, please. There was a quote from Max Fried. He was like, you know, I relish the chance to step up for our injured staff. And it's like, bro, you're an ace everywhere else.
I'm sure you are, because you would be doing this for probably 28 other teams.
But before you really hammer down the Red Sox to win this division, I mean, the Yankees... We have to think they're going to go get somebody. I don't think the Cardinals are going to be very good. Would they reunite with Sonny Gray?
Well, Cashman came out and he's like, well, yeah, we need starting pitching help now, but there just isn't really a lot available.
There's not. You got to kind of wait and see how.
And you kind of use your trade bait and leverage this offseason and going after Devin Williams.
Say Arizona's not very good. I bet you can get Jordan Montgomery for cheap.
You could probably get him right now for cheap,
I was
honestly.
Say,
after the comments that their owner made about him last year.
You know, but like, what if Texas fades? Can you go get Jacob DeGrom? Mm,
they just won a World Series like in the last
and their
three
offense
seasons,
is going to so. Be, I feel, going to take a step up.
A giant step up.
Yeah, I think they're going to be better than they were last year.
I feel like they invested a lot of that money in those guys to keep them around. Like 2 years before their World Series, they had a 100-loss team. So they want that sustainable success.
Since we have the opportunity to bail on the Yankees or just bail on any of our division winners for this, I still feel good about the Orioles because I think the Orioles are now in the same position as the Yankees. Our offense, we feel really good about it. Our bullpen, we feel really good about it. We need a starter. Who goes and gets one first? The Red Sox, I think, stand pat and say, we feel good. We got guys coming up. This might not be our year, but we'll make the playoffs. Next year is our year for the Red Sox, assuming Bregman comes back.
Like you mentioned, I think Bregman changes the entire look for the Red Sox. For me, it was the Yankees until he signed with them, and then you plug him in at 3 or 4, plus Devers, plus a great Tristan Casas again. Are you kidding me? I think Vaughn Grissom is their young second baseman, so if he pops off, they're pretty much unbeatable in that division.
Well, the good news is I refuse to believe that the Red Sox are any good. Sorry, Cooley.
You've
sorry,
been
boss.
Saying that for like the last 3-4 seasons, though.
And was I wrong?
One of the years, yes, you were.
I was.
I mean, their worst hitter is just an overpaid Masataka Yoshida, and he still hits like 260 for you. So,
I do
like
Yoshida.
Yeah, come on. Like, what? They don't have a bad situation going on in Boston.
Joe, on the spot, who you got winning the East?
I'm going Red Sox.
Jordan, you're staying Red Sox?
I'm doubling down. Red Sox.
I'm doubling down on Joe's O's.
Well, the Red Sox had good starting.
I got Kurt's O's. Screw Joe's O's. I got Kurt's O's.
The Red Sox did have one of the best pitching teams last year.
Yeah, they were really good.
In general. And, God, I'm trying to remember who their pitching coach is. I'm going to have to look it up in the break. But that they just went and got better pitchers also. So it's like you already were making lemonade out of lemons, And now you're adding some really good lemons to this.
Oranges.
The best lemons to this lemonade.
The best lemons I've ever seen. Nobody's ever seen.
Andrew Bailey, Christmas. Former starter in baseball.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've heard the name.
I knew he was a starter 10 years ago or something. But yes, Andrew Bailey is their pitching coach.
All right. When we come back, do AI photos of potential things get your pants tight?
Well, I mean,
which things?
These are not. Yeah, I guess. Good question.
Just
good statement there.
You have to decide.
These aren't AI photos. These are renderings, bro.
I'm just making fun. We come back. Are we closer? Are we closer? Are we closer? 1080 The Fan. All right, coming up in the second hour, we'll dive in. We'll finish our previews of divisions with the American League and the National League West, which I have said are very contentious divisions for very, very different reasons.
Sorry, I'll be with you in a second.
You're
I'm chowing down on a buffalo wing that Patrick gave me.
You're fine.
It's delicious.
Wings are absolutely fantastic. Wings are some of the greatest thing you could ever find in your entire life. So, here we are again. I had a conversation with my buddy today who's a diehard Rays fan. He's from Tampa. There are rumors that Major League Baseball is going to force the owners of the Tampa Bay Rays out because he's kind of rescinding on some budget deals and doesn't have the capital to cover the overhead on building a new stadium before tax dollars kick in. So they might force him out. But baseball will want an owner to come in and keep Tampa in Tampa. That way, it forges the path for expansion, meaning one out east, probably Nashville or Carolina, and one out west, Salt Lake City and Portland, Oregon. Your sports leader, right here, 1080 The Fan. Renderings came out for the potential spot down on the southwest waterfront, right by our old place, right there on the poop-filled Willametta.
Yeah, can we
go back?
Yeah,
can we go back there?
We got a little hasty with this move to northwest Portland.
Can we get parking spots down there?
When the T2 rumors were happening, we're like, yeah, all right,
I used to live in the apartment right next to where the stadium would go, so I'll just go back there.
Yeah.
I had a parking spot and everything.
I will say this. Boy, the renderings are sexy.
They are.
Damn
right.
I'm trying to think of, obviously, there's San Francisco and then Pittsburgh is right on the river. Like, the waterfront parks are few and far between in the MLB. And this one's sexy. Very,
very sexy.
Like, with the little walkways.
Like, Sydney Sweeney level sexy.
Ana de Armas sexy.
Kate Upton?
Ava Mendez?
The chick from Enora?
The text line does not agree on that.
Oh, really?
I mean, I thought when she was completely naked in Nora, I thought she wasn't too bad. but I digress.
You know that naked chick in this movie I watched? Hey, pretty hot.
Up tops. You're all right with me. Yeah, this park, this rendering, it's the best one, obviously, yet. I mean, tucked in between the bridges. And just so much parking, dude.
So much parking.
Just too many parking
lots.
But
the reality is, though, like, let's get into this realistically. Obviously, there's no parking down there. No, absolutely zero.
Not at all.
However, Tillicum Crossing?
Yes.
I would literally park on the other side of the river.
Well, and if you've been listening,
either walk across the bridge or get on the max.
Well,
or I'll take Dirt's water ferry that he's building, so we can chug a couple beers.
Yeah, the Diamond Pontoon service. Yeah,
yeah, I'm down for it. Yeah, the parking situation is gonna be an absolute mess. I threw out the idea to someone today. I was like, what if they put extra parking up at a OHSU on the hill and just tram everybody down there? I was like,
imagine sitting in the tram, like there's six of us sitting in the tram just smashing liquor and beers.
It would also take like 100 trips a day, which, hey, OHSU, they'll make some money off of that.
But I'll tell you what. I would do the same thing that I do for Blazer games when I lived in North Portland. And now that I live in Vancouver, I would literally just drive to North Portland, get on the orange line right there, and take the max down.
The nice thing about Portland, sorry, Buffalo Wing getting to me. great public transportation system.
For that area, yes.
And down there, yeah.
T2 would have been a nightmare.
Yes. But yeah, I mean, the Tillicum Bridge, I mean, what is that? That goes all right by OHSU. Is it the Red Line?
No, it's the orange line.
Is that it's the orange line?
Yeah, it's the orange
because
line.
The orange line crosses orange line goes to the Milwaukee. Telecom to go down to Milwaukee.
Oh, okay.
It's the all green right. line and the orange line in that part of the city, yeah.
I don't know the lines.
So basically,
well.
You could get it there anywhere. You just got to go downtown and then hop off the red or the blue line.
But
down
basically,
to the
make a
line.
Transfer at the Moda Center.
What or I, at Pioneer Square.
What right, I yeah. do like about this, though, is it kind of connects the South Waterfront to the Hawthorne Park Bridge area a little yep. bit closer to it. Almost connects.
OMSI is basically catty corner if you count the river as a street.
I mean, this area is being used for like literally nothing. I think on the other side
oh,
of the
homeless
Ross
people use it for a lot.
Oh yeah, yes, they got their dinghy out there. The Ross Island.
That's not nice. Dirt is employed and has a home.
I can't wait for the ferry system. So you it's, know that's going to happen.
Dirt's ferry system. I'm going to sign up for a season ticket.
Jet skiing people across. I mean that. I feel like that versus a pontoon. Like pontoons go like 15 miles per hour or something. They're very yeah. slow. If
but
I
this
have
isn't the Mississippi. This isn't the Grand Canyon. You're going to get across the Willamette pretty quickly.
But, dude, this also made me start thinking, like, if we have a team in a stadium right there on the river, I was like, we should be the Portland Sturgeons. Because, you know, we got some big-ass sturgeons floating right around that part of the river.
Yeah, they're floating belly up in the Willamette.
No, they're thriving. They are I'm thriving sure. On their bottom feeders, aren't they?
I don't know,
sturgeons?
Man.
Sturgeons?
I figured I don't swim in it, so I pity the fish that lives in it.
Well, I think the sturgeon are thriving.
All right.
What's the big-ass sturgeon that was up near... the falls that we had on display.
Oh, that's right. I Gus sorry, I can't remember.
Like that,
I don't keep up with my fishing news on the Willamette.
Daryl.
Yeah, Daryl the fish.
There was a big old sturgeon that we had in a glass case. He was alive and he was swimming around. But anyways, I digress again. The renderings are awesome.
How bad is the traffic on the Ross Island Bridge?
Absolute mess. All around
that terrible.
somebody said to me, people are going to get in car accidents because they're going to be trying to watch the game as they're crossing the bridge. I was like, stop.
No, it's actually, it's pretty narrow on those lanes.
No, I know,
so
I know.
It's not going like, to be pretty.
People are going to be driving freeways, off the bridge trying to see in the stadium.
There are freeways that go by stadiums in many places and people aren't trying to look in and driving off the bridge.
We got some bad drivers here, though, in Oregon. Bad drivers.
Herman the Sturgeon, by the way.
Herman the Sturgeon.
Daryl's better.
I do like Daryl.
I like Daryl as well.
But, you know, what's the old Sopranos line? Who's the guy that's in Bruce Springsteen's band? Steve Van Zandt?
Yeah.
He's got the line in the Sopranos, like, just when I thought I was out, you pull me back in.
That's actually Al Pacino from
Well,
Godfather
he's quoting...
3.
Yeah, but Steve Van Zandt says it funny. I don't know.
Also, one of the best musician cameos in a TV show of all time.
I didn't know that's what he did.
Oh, yeah, Stevie? Oh, yeah, yeah.
I watched The Sopranos.
He
and
wears
then,
like a do-rag. Oh, yeah. He's,
yeah,
he's
someone was like, dude, that guy is in, yeah, Bruce
my
Springsteen.
My mom.
And I was like, what?
My mom watched that show. I was like, that guy's in the E Street Band. She was like, Bruce Springsteen? No, he's not. I was like, okay.
Yeah, I was shocked by that, but they have definitely pulled me back in. Damn you, Portland Diamond Project.
So we'll see how that pans out.
Keep teasing and tickling me.
We'll see how that pans out. These Sydney Sweeney renderings are pretty hot. So we'll see how them up tops
good
go.
Good up tops.
When we come back, we'll finish out our division preview. We'll start with the National League West, and then we'll get to the American League West. Wild stuff. Loaded second hour. 10A the Fan.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.